Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Why does South Korea have the lowest fertility rate in the world? The average South Korean woman is expected to have 1.5 children in her life, exactly half the rate needed to maintain the population. That means a shrinking workforce, paying less for taxes, and more elderly people who need more expensive care. South Korea's government has pumped tens of billions of dollars into dealing with the problem over the past decade, but the fertility rate is still going down. In this whodunit, Simon Maben finds out who's not doing it and why.
It's a sunny Sunday afternoon in Haesindang Park, perhaps better known as the Penis Park, on South Korea's east coast. Everywhere you look, there are penis sculptures. Gold, brown, wood, stone, benches, stools, water features.
The origins of this park come from a local legend. The story goes that after a young woman drowned at sea, none of the fishermen could catch fish. Then one of them, one night, went for a pee over the edge of the cliff, and the next day, miraculously, he was able to catch fish. All his friends said, what's your secret? He told them, and they decided that what they needed to do was to assuage this young woman's spirit with phalluses. So they erected a phallus here on the edge of the cliff, and their prayers were answered. The fish were plentiful again.
It's a popular place. Our translator, Jake Kwon, helps us find out why.
First lady with the more brighter clothes, she said, "It is very nice, but it seems a little indecent. It's a little embarrassing for me to look at these things here." Second lady said, "Why? It's very nice with the flowers and, you know, it's pretty here. I like it. I really like it here. I've been here 3 times now." And I asked him, like, "Well, do you come here possibly because, you know, you get a certain energy about this place?" And then she said, "Well, I shouldn't be receiving any energy from here because I'm done with children. Maybe young people will come here and they'll get some nice energy from it."
This place is full of people giggling away at these phallic sculptures. And South Korea has a tradition of celebrating fertility with symbols like this. But actually, this country has a serious problem when it comes to making babies. South Korea has the lowest fertility rate in the world. For assignment, I want to find out what's going on. It's like a whodunit, except the question is, who's not doing it and why?
South Korea's fertility rate is now 1.05. That's the number of children an average woman is expected to have in her lifetime. It's exactly half the rate needed to maintain a population. So, what's putting people off?
My boss said, "Once you have a child, your child is going to be your priority and the company will come second. So can you still work?" And he just kept repeating this question.
We meet Choi Moon-jong next to a playground in a suburb of South Korea's capital, Seoul. She was working as a tax accountant when she got pregnant. She says during the busy tax season, her boss piled even more work on her and, when she complained, said she lacked dedication.
My boss had fired a co-worker earlier, so I took on more tasks during the tax season. He was yelling at me. I was sitting in my chair, and with all the stress, my body started convulsing and I couldn't open my eyes. My co-worker called a paramedic and I was taken to hospital.
At the hospital, the doctors told her that stress was bringing about signs of miscarriage. When Moon-jong returned to work after a week in hospital, she felt her boss was doing everything he could to force her to leave her job. She didn't want to choose between having a family and having a career.
Well, My boss is an odd person, so my case might seem special, but I think there are many cases where women get worried when they're pregnant, and you have to think very hard before announcing your pregnancy. Many people around me have no children and plan to have no children.
Almost everyone we spoke to mentioned the pressure women face from their employers during and after pregnancy. Laws here are supposed to stop this kind of discrimination, but unions say they're not enforced, so companies can all too easily push women out if they think they've become a burden. And when it comes to childcare, things don't get any easier.
There's a dozen or so kids here. They look like they're probably about 4 or 5 years old, and as far as I can tell, it looks like there's a game of hide and seek that's just got underway.
In southwest Seoul, this nursery looks after 85 children aged 1 to 5, with the first children arriving at 7:30 in the morning.
This is a class of about 23 or 4 year olds, I think, and they're singing along very enthusiastically to their teachers playing on the piano.
These are the lucky ones. In this nursery, there are 6 applications to every single place for new starters. Other nurseries have ratios of 10 to 1.
I was calling up like 30 different daycares in this neighborhood.
30?
Yes, at least 30, I'm sure. So I was calling every place to see if there's any place for a 3-year-old. And that age group was completely full for the whole area.
After months of searching, Kim Se-hee, who lives in the west of Seoul, eventually did find a place for her young daughter, but in a class for older children. Se-hee's parents live in Australia, and her in-laws are in the United States. Her husband's American. Grandparents nearby might have helped, but on the other hand...
Okay, let's put it this way, like, there are reasons why I did not marry Korean men. It's not just the men themselves, but it's also the parents, the whole in-law that you have to deal with in Korea. That's pretty intense, I think. All the expectation from your in-law family is huge. And for men, they don't see the childcare duties as their duties.
The average South Korean man spends 45 minutes a day on unpaid work like childcare. Women spend 5 times that. And once the kids go to school, Se-hee says there's an expectation that parents will be giving them a leg up with private tutoring and extracurricular activities.
Which will cost money. Korean people put a lot of emphasis on education.
So what does all of this experience make you think about having another child?
Oh, no way. Like, I'm not having another one. We have to use all of our resources to have one, I think, time and money-wise. So, yeah, I don't think you're having a second one.
Those who are making babies in South Korea are put off making more by their treatment at work, the challenge of finding childcare, and the costs of educating and providing a home for their children. In this whodunit, if people are doing it, then they're using contraception.
We've travelled about an hour outside of Seoul to a campus of one of South Korea's biggest companies. There's a huge factory to one side of me, a giant office block, and next to me there's a sports centre that's got 2 basketball courts and a fitness centre inside. And I've come to meet someone to talk about the long hours culture here, but he doesn't want us to say the name of the company because he's worried he may get into trouble for speaking to us.
In his early 30s, Soo Hwan looks rather more haggard than the bright-eyed young man with neatly combed hair on the ID card round his neck. In a quiet corner of the campus, away from the boss's eyes, he tells us his normal working day lasts 12 hours, but sometimes stretches to 16. That means making babies is far from his mind.
I'm not young, but I don't dare to have marriage or children.
Why not?
결혼을 하려면
Marriage would require some prerequisites, mainly economical reasons, but I do not have them, so it wouldn't work out.
And does that make you feel sad? Would you like to have children if you had enough money? Would you like to have a family and have children?
Yes, if it was economically possible, I would definitely. If I need to marry, I think I need time. I think I need to get off early so I can go on dates and find my mate. And many coworkers I see in the company, I don't think many of them has time to meet people outside of the work. I think it's because we have no time.
The government says it recognizes this problem. A new law coming into force this year cut the maximum working week from 68 hours to 52. But Su Huan thinks companies will find ways around it, just like they do with laws on discrimination against women.
I'm mostly sad that women lose career at childbirth, and then they'll come back to work and they won't be treated as well as men. I think that there is gender discrimination in that sense, and that's why I also say that men should take as much time as women do after childbirth, and it is my hope that this issue will be improved.
All these factors have combined to produce a new social phenomenon in South Korea. It's known as the Sampo generation.
It's a generation of people who have given up marriage, relationships, and having children because it's so difficult for them economically to pursue those.
Three members of Seoul's burgeoning feminist scene meet us in a hipster cafe, eager to explain the barriers that women face here. So So-eun translates for her cousin Jang Yun-hwa and friend Kim Min-sun.
Have you thought about having children in the future?
아니요, 전혀.
Never.
네. 왜냐면은 일단 첫 번째로 비용이 굉장히 많이 들고
It costs so much, first of all.
그리고 취업이라든지 내 앞으로의 커리어에서도 굉장한 그 해가 되기 때문에
It's very detrimental to my career. I also want to mention for female employees, like even from the moment that they're in an interview, it's a very common practice to ask, do you have a boyfriend? Are you going to marry? Are you going to get children? Yeah.
What does all of this say about attitudes, gender attitudes in South Korea, the way that men see women?
노예. 이등시민? 노예, 노예.
Yuna says slave. Min-sun says second-class citizens.
More simply, most of Korean men do not see the women as humans, or they think more as objects, which they can have. Kind of, yeah.
Do you think it's really that bad that a majority of men see women in that way?
And this is true. This is true, I know. And an example that I can give is my own father who went to a prostitution service and got caught twice. And I would like to add, so did my father.
Really? Both of you, both of your fathers you know have been to prostitutes?
Maybe my dad didn't get caught yet.
The most recent government survey on prostitution use found 51% of men had paid for sex. And there's more evidence of men's unhealthy attitudes towards women here. A study published last year by the Korean Institute of Criminology found an astounding 80% of South Korean men admitted to having been abusive towards romantic partners. Why does South Korea have the lowest fertility rate in the world? For these young women, deeply rooted sexism means they don't expect to be expecting anytime soon, if ever. This country has been through massive change in a really short space of time. I'm in the middle of Seoul now and we're surrounded by towering skyscrapers that wouldn't have been here 20 or 30 years ago. But just below them there's a really nice little stream that runs through the centre of the city with a park on either side where people are walking up and down. And sitting beside the stream there's a couple of women who look like they're in their 60s enjoying some boiled sweets together. And I'm interested to know what women of their generation think about the birth rate problem.
옛날에는 그런 게 없었지. 옛날에 우리 때 저는 딸만 셋을 낳았는데 그때는 딸을 많이 아기를 많이 낳았다고 혜택도 없고 막 혼났어요.
I have three daughters, and at the time I was admonished for having three daughters, for having too many children. But these days, the situation is different.
How old are your daughters?
지금 다 40 됐죠.
They're in their 40s.
Do they have children?
그분들은 따님들 자녀가
있어요. 결혼 안 했어요.
결혼하셨어요? No, they're not married.
결혼 하나도 안 했어요.
None of them has married. I have three daughters. None of them has married. They're all over 40s.
Do your daughters feel any sense of duty that they should be providing the next generation of Koreans?
있는 거는 뭐 생각도 안 하더라고 요즘에는 그리고.
I try to instill patriotism and duty to the country with the kids, and of course I would love to see them continuing the line, but their decision is not to do that.
Are you worried about the low birth rate in South Korea?
그렇죠, 걱정되죠. 우리 지금.
Of course we are worried. We are very worried. People in their 60s and 70s are very worried, because young people must continue the line.
When these women were young adults, South Korea had one of the highest fertility rates in the world. More than 6 children per mother at one point. So the government encouraged them to have fewer, with state-funded vasectomies and slogans like, two are too many. Now there's a committee set up in 2006 and chaired by the president, trying to do the opposite. In his office overlooking the entrance to one of Seoul's historic palaces, we meet the committee's Director General for Planning, Lee Chang-jun.
출산율이 떨어지면서 우리나라의 저출산으로 인한 고령화
As the birth rate falls, the population ages quickly. For a nation to continue developing, the size of the working age population needs to be maintained. We're now in phase three of our plan to deal with this problem. The first two phases were to provide more nurseries and for men and women to be equal when it comes to work and childcare, and for the nurseries to be free.
People we've spoken to say both of these things are still problems, and 12 years after the committee started its work, the fertility rate is going down, and last year it was its lowest ever. So why aren't these policies working?
In the past, the high birth rate was the problem, so the government had a campaign called Raise Just One Child Well to lower the birth rate. The government policies and campaigns worked in the past, but not with this generation, who are prioritising their own lives. The first thing that needs to happen is for men and women to be equal and to take care of children equally.
Are you saying that South Korea is a sexist country?
Things are changing quickly. It's not just Korea that has a low birth rate, but other countries like China, Japan and Taiwan, they're also suffering from this problem.
Is that a yes?
In most families, even if both parents work, it is still typically the mother whose job it is to take care of the child.
Another answer to the problem of having a shrinking working age population would be allowing more immigrants to come to this country. Is that something that the government's considering?
The issue of immigration has been discussed continuously in our society since 2006. But considering Korean culture and sensibilities, it's difficult officially to embrace immigration.
A sexist, anti-immigrant country, so says a senior civil servant. Lee Chang-jun seems in little doubt South Korea is confronting some fundamental issues.
It's me. 24, 26, girl. Yeah. My life like a fish.
Of course, the government can't come up with all the answers. Welcome to the Introduction to Dating course at Seoul's Dongguk University with Professor Jang Jae-suk. There's about 10 rows of wooden desks with chairs behind them, and the room's pretty much full. There's probably about 60 students here, about 50-50 male, female. And it looks like your average university lecture room, but I have to say it does seem a bit strange to me that this is something you need to teach people. It's quite funny because there's a young man and a young woman in front of me who really look like they're flirting with each other. I'm wondering why they need to come to a class to learn how to date. When I went to university in the UK, people just dated. They found each other. Why do people here need a course to help them?
맞아요. 예전에도 그랬는데요. 최근에 한국 사회는 고등학교까지는
It was like that before, but these days students have to study a lot to get into college, and then study a lot in college to get into good companies. It's not easy for them to have time to date. So I wanted to give them, if they can't have a real life experience in dating, at least an imaginary experience in dating.
What do the students learn about dating in your class?
연애에 대해서 전반적인 거 배워요. 그러니까 연애에 대한 어떤
They learn general knowledge, they learn a good attitude, and they learn dating skills, how to respect each other, and how to cope when they finally break up. We don't only teach them about kissing or sexual techniques. We teach them proper etiquette and respect. Although, towards the end of the class, we do teach them how to touch each other.
There's surveys that show in South Korea there seems to be a serious problem about gender attitudes in relationships, and that lots of men in South Korea say that they have acted abusively towards their partners. Is that an issue you try to deal with in the course?
그럼요. 어떻게 보면 가장 중요한 부분이죠. 우리가 잘 인지하지
That is possibly the most important lesson we try to teach here. How to use words and how to act so that they will not disrespect each other.
그런 것들을 알아가도록 하는 시간을 갖기도 해요.
Professor Jang seems relentlessly enthusiastic, and as she goes through relationship scenarios with the class, the thoughtful and open-minded discussion punctures my scepticism. And she's had success, even presiding over the wedding of two of her former students. Why have you come to this class today?
I came here because I feel I missed out on the dating experience. I wanted to come here to learn how to have a successful experience. I had no idea before, so I had a lot of failures.
And is there anyone in the class who's caught your eye?
No.
The very idea of that has just sent her into fits of giggles. Tell me about why you've come to this class.
I came here because I was kicked by my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, so you were dumped by your girlfriend?
Yeah. Even I got depression, so I want to learn how to make good dating. I wanted for future understand the girls.
Your girlfriend chose to break up with you before. Looking back, why do you think she did that?
Because I was too devoting to her. Like, I love her too much, so too much makes bad.
Okay, so you're a bit too full on.
Yeah, so I was always like, hey, where are you? Let's hang out like that.
You're both quite young now. Have you thought about in the future, would you like to start a family? Would you like to have children?
No.
No? Yeah. Why not?
Because if I make baby, I must spend a lot of money. So I don't want to.
Okay,
so I just want to spend my money with my wife, not children.
And what about you? Have you thought about children in the future?
I want to meet someone good, someone right, before I turn 30 and start a family.
South Korea has the lowest birth rate in the whole world.
Oh.
Did you know that? And is that something you're worried about?
I'm worried about, but I think there are many people who think families like me, so there's no solution.
I think concern about the low birth rate shouldn't be the reason for us to have children. It should be about forming happy families.
But people in older generations here, some of them say you have a duty
to help Korea continue as a culture and as a country. And if people don't have children, there will be no future for Korea.
근데 그런 이제 제도적인 거나 문화적인 게 개선되지 않은 상태에서
Without any improvement in policies or culture, if you say it's your duty to have a child, well, I think it's very selfish of old people to say it like that.
분들의 그것도 되게 이기적인 생각이라고 생각해요.
When I put that same point to the three feminists we met earlier, their response is even more combative. We've spoken to some older women while we've been here, and they say that younger generations have a duty to procreate, because otherwise, if they don't, this culture will die.
Must die.
Okay, so Yuna and Min-sun are saying that, you know, let it die.
Yeah, let it die.
It's a stark message, a jab of frustration from one generation at another. For their parents and grandparents, this country's transformation over the past half century has been built on manpower, and they, like the giggling visitors to the penis park, celebrate manhood. But for many of these highly educated children of a globalised world, womanhood means so much more than making babies. And the sacrifices required to raise children in today's South Korea just aren't worth it.
Simon Mabin looking at why the South Korean fertility rate has been dropping. Well, you've been listening, of course, to Focus Asia Pacific, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And as you're probably aware, we've been bringing you a series of special programs as this is the summertime. But those in the Pacific who are listening on medium wave and FM through and many different island nations are also aware that there's a 15-minute daily, three times daily edition of the program with the latest news and current affairs. But the weekly version for our partner stations, of course, is bringing a number of specials. Anyway, that's all we have time for on the program. We hope you join us again very soon for more here on Focus Asia Pacific. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you all, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.